It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, along with Kyle from LaGrange Barber. Hey, man.
What's going on, Dave? I shall try to be objective.
Yeah, well, that's what we do around here. And hey, Bubba, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Riley's basketball is getting started tonight, so had that going on in a little bit. But it's been a pretty cold week here, with the exception of one day where it was nice up in the low 60s. But that day it was pouring rain.
Yeah, we definitely, the weather is definitely, I heard it's going to be, I don't know, this Kyle is our staff meteorologist. I heard it's going to be a very cold winter, so I guess we need to get used to it.
You know, we'll see. I mean, I've heard cold and wet, but we'll see.
Let's talk about a set of meteorology. Let's definitely talk about something we know about, and that's sports, especially when it comes to East Carolina. So much stuff to talk about. Bubba, where do you want to start? We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
First of all, guys, we have a very special guest joining us later in the podcast.
Austin Cox of the AAC Daily Podcast. Austin is based out of Cincinnati. He's a UC alum, and we enjoyed catching up with him. We caught up with him, I guess, back in late February, toward the tail end of basketball season, right when baseball was getting cranked up, and enjoyed talking with Austin about a variety of topics, obviously football, but then also touching on a little basketball as well, with conference play just around the corner.
Yeah, but this interview we're going to air today is not from February. We caught up with him this week.
That's right. We caught him up with him on like Tuesday, and definitely want to have him back on when it's baseball season again. But it's definitely a lot of recruiting talk, a little bit of everything when it comes to American. So we'll be talking to him in just a little while. But let's talk East Carolina. I know we have signing day coming up next Wednesday, Bubba, right? The 18th?
Yep. There'll be an event, as there has been for several years, at the Murphy Center, Harvey Hall. It is free, but you do, or you did, I guess I should have said, have to RSVP, just so they had a head count. I think you had to RSVP for that by the 10th. So,
by Tuesday.
Yeah, if you're still interested in going, you may reach out just to see if it's a possibility, but you may be out of luck. But I know as of maybe like the 7th or 8th, there were 150 people who had RSVP'd per John Gilbert's letter from the helm.
How many
people? That's going to be great.
Can they accommodate? Do you know?
I want to say Harvey Hall's at least probably 250 or 300, maybe more than that, but at least something like that.
I'm sure if you reach out to Ryan Robinson or somebody like that, they'll probably try to work you in, maybe.
Yeah,
I would bet.
Can't imagine if they have space. I can't imagine they would turn anyone away if there's space.
Tell them Kyle from LaGrange sent you.
All right. Yeah, that'll help you get it. you'll definitely get it that way.
Dave Richmond sent you.
Yeah, you tell him Kyle from LaGrange sent you. That's the golden ticket.
That's right.
Better now. I think you have better relations.
Hey, look, I've not called for any of these guys to be fired, and not said any of them were cancer or as likable as cancer. And
right. I think you're good. I think you're good. It'll be better now. Unlike the previous administration, that would be really dicey. So, but we're on to new things. Certainly, we're talking about. With that signing day, very excited about that. If you're a college football fan, that's one of the, probably should be a national holiday in my opinion, but definitely a big day for
interesting as we sit right now, the IGO just announced the crystal ball is predicting a third quarterback, a kid from Texas, from the Houston area, who was committed to Kent State, just decommitted, and looks like he's going to be a Pirate. And to sign three quarterbacks in one recruiting class is very rare, Bubba. Do you think this is an indication that this staff may be a little weary on Garcia qualifying?
It could be that. I certainly do not know for sure, but I don't know a ton about this kid out of Texas, but I had seen that several days ago now where we were on him. And like you said, he's a Kent State commit.
From what I understand, he's short, very undersized.
Right.
Accurate as all get out, like can make throws that a lot of kids can't make in college.
And like you said, he's right there around 5'10". And so what I immediately, with him hailing from Texas, on what, and I'm not to compare him to this guy, but just what I immediately thought of. I mean, when a lot of folks think 5'10", well, 5'10" at quarterback, what are we doing? But
you can still grow also. You know,
right.
He's 18 years old. He can get another couple of inches on him, and now he's 6'1".
But what I was gonna mention is, Jeff Blake's right around 6 feet, yeah. But and then Marcus Crandall wasn't extremely tall, but not comparing him to East Carolina quarterbacks who haven't been the tallest. But also I was gonna mention De'Eriq King at Houston. Obviously, he's extremely talented, but he's someone that's right there 5'9", 5'10". So if he can play like De'Eriq King or even close to De'Eriq King, then it's a heck of a pickup, and who knows, maybe the guy is kind of like a Dwayne Harris, where he could be a slot receiver if quarterback doesn't work out.
Maybe, but you wouldn't think a kid's going to decommit from Kent State if he doesn't think he's got a chance to come here and play quarterback. Of course, you can tell them one thing, and then they tell them something else when they get here. But
I wasn't saying that took that approach with him. I was just thinking, like, should he come here as a quarterback, like I would imagine
right.
he is, and things don't pan out, then he's versatile.
That seems to be happening less and less, though, Bubba. If your kids, instead of switching positions now, they'll just transfer.
Very true.
Yeah.
I mean, you take somebody in the past like Devon Drew or Richard Austin, you might not have ever seen that happen.
Rob Cass.
Yeah. Well, Rob at least got plenty of playing time. That was, his senior season they switched him. But it'll be interesting to see with three quarterbacks, if all three qualify and all three sign. You know, my guess, if all three qualify and all three sign by their junior years, all three will not be pirates.
That's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, I think that they know that they signed multiple ones, knowing that's a possibility, and also the injury factor. Somebody could get a career injury.
Well, you typically bring in one to two quarterbacks. They're bringing in three quarterbacks,
right?
Is really rare.
I know that. Yeah, I know that it's very rare. So, but from all indications, we haven't heard that Mason Garcia is not going to qualify.
No, I'm just speculating.
I mean, we don't know that.
I don't know why we would be pursuing a third quarterback this hard to flip him from a school he's verbaled to. And again, this is just speculation on my part. Mike Houston right now, if he heard me talking, might tell me to shut my mouth. I don't know what I'm talking about. But just looking at, this is just, again, speculation on my part. It's what makes sense to me. And I hope I'm wrong. God knows. Garcia's a stud.
Yeah, basically Holton Ahlers and Houston thinks that Holton Ahlers and Garcia, he's set for the next, 7 years?
If everything goes as planned, yeah.
Yeah.
In addition to those two, Mason Garcia and the kid that we're referring to out of Texas, who we apologize, we don't recall his name right offhand, but and we also have the third one we're referencing is Taji Hudson out of Georgia.
That's right. Terry Gallagher says he's the best of the three. Because he knows anything about him, just because he's from Georgia.
He's from Georgia. That's right. He's a peach. A Georgia peach, right?
not, because he's a male.
I'm just joking. It's a joke. Good grief.
It is.
You act like you're from Georgia, though. So.
I would imagine he wouldn't like for you to call him a Georgia peach. I tell you that, look, our first interview with him, refer to him as a Georgia peach.
I'm not going to. I was just a joke with you. I want to get a rise out of it.
Totally do it.
Yeah, I'm awesome. Sure you'll call me out on it, but I was totally trying to get a rise out of you. So,
starting at quarterback for the Pirates, Taji the Peach Hudson.
That'll be fantastic.
You can kill us later, Taji.
Hey, by the way, did you guys see the Tim Brando, Timmy B, his playoff bracket of eight? So, Kyle,
yeah,
I think
that's
like
kind of the scenario I've been throwing out for years too. Is you take your five so-called power conference champions and then one from the so-called group of five, and in this case it would be Memphis and then two at-larges. Though I at this point, there is such we'll lead into this, Dave, from that. There is such a distinct separation now from the American and the other group of five conferences. You know, we'll give a caveat to the Mountain West. They would be the closest. But you look at Conference USA, for example, the TV deal, they're getting around $700,000. We're getting between $7 and $8 million per school with a new TV contract. The attendance, their top attendance school for football this year was Southern Miss with 24,000. Guys, number two in attendance in Conference USA in football was UAB.
Wow.
Was number two in attendance in Conference USA. That's bad. And, you know, I think part of the problem is the schools that are in the league have no fan base. But I think no television exposure and their horrible TV deal is hurting that league.
Yep.
And, you know, I got a, you know, one of a friend of the podcast, my friend James down in Southern Miss, he wants USM to join the Sun Belt. Because he feels that the exposure is better, and he thinks that the conference has a brighter future as it sits right now than Conference USA. So anyway, the point of the story was how far the American is above the other group of five leagues. And but that attendance issue in the CUSA, guys, East Carolina would have led CUSA in attendance this year.
That's crazy. And to think about, but I think it also goes back to Kyle that all the schools that were originally part of Conference
gone.
USA are now in the American.
Yeah, nobody's there but Southern Miss and UAB. I mean, that's it. And actually Charlotte. But Charlotte didn't have football then, but they were original member. It's sad. I really feel bad for USM, and we'll talk about that with C. Austin Cox later. I don't know why I want to call C. Thomas.
Thomas Howell.
Yeah, that's it. That's what it is, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah. A great actor from the 80s.
Exactly, yeah, The Outsiders. But
do you want to go to that interview?
Yeah, we might as well. Yeah, let's do that now. We'll talk about Southern Miss and joining the American with Austin.
Well, hard to believe that championship week is over, Bubba, and we got another great guest with us right now to talk about the American.
Yeah, we're going to touch on the season that was in the American and college football, and then also talk about hoops as well, and then preview some of the bowl matchups. Welcome into the show from the AAC Daily Podcast, C. Austin Cox. Austin, welcome in.
Hey, thanks for having me back on, guys.
Absolutely, Austin. Great weekend. I tell you what, hopefully we'll have him back on the podcast, but happy to see the love from Tim Brando. He actually had he hates the term Power Five and Group of Five, but he actually had a bracket with eight teams he made, and he put Memphis in there, which I was really happy about, getting the love from Brando and some of the other folks. I know there's other members of the media that want more than four teams in the playoff, but let's talk about what did you think about the AAC championship game. I really liked it with Memphis and Cincinnati, and let's start there.
Well, I'll tell you what, looking at that championship game, I think it delivered on all the high expectations that it had going in there. And, of course, as you guys well know, having that ranked opponent for Memphis 2 weeks in a row really helped them. And that's why, of course, the American got another NY6 bowl bid with the Cotton Bowl in comparison to, say, maybe a Boise State who plays a slightly easier schedule and a slightly easier conference. And, of course, their conference championship against Hawaii did not pit them up against a ranked team. But specifically looking at the AAC championship, I think it was another great game, which has become the tradition almost every year down to the past couple seasons with the great contest that Memphis and UCF have put on. But this year in particular, I don't think it was the nail biter that we've become accustomed to here in the American, but it certainly lived up to expectations.
Yeah, good competitive game. On ABC, have we got any of the ratings numbers in yet? Have you happened to hear how the ratings were for the championship game?
I haven't gotten the numbers in yet, but you know, we're definitely going to see an uptick based on our lead in this year with the Big 12 Conference Championship right ahead of us. We're expecting higher numbers once those do come in, But, I mean, how great is it just to see the American constantly on ABC and, of course, getting those mentions across the league? That exposure has really been, I just say, exploded the past couple seasons.
Yeah, I've mentioned this several times on the podcast while we're still fighting for official Power 6 status. Have you kind of gotten the impression this season that ESPN, and maybe it's just the product on the field, but I also think it's got something to do with the new TV contract starting next year that's paying the league about $7 million per team. It seems to me the way the ESPN treats the American is starting to change. Obviously, they've been airing our games, but just the way the approach is, it seems like they're treating us not equal to the so-called Power 5 leagues, but pretty close.
Absolutely. If it comes to just looking at respect and how they treat and talk about the American Athletic Conference in general, they are certainly talking about it in a higher regard than we have seen in previous seasons. Of course, last year with College Game Day going down there to Orlando, we saw almost overnight a change in attitude from personalities like Kirk Herbstreit, who suddenly started saying, hey, you know what, maybe the American Athletic Conference needs more credit. And, of course, that was, I think, a bit of an eye-opener for a lot of people, and they realized that, hey, these guys weren't watching the games they've been talking about because it took them sitting there in person to get a good idea. But, you know, looking at ESPN, they are certainly, without a doubt, I'd say holding it up and giving it more respect and giving it that separation. You know, you pointed out it's not getting the same respect as a Pac-12 or a SEC or a Big Ten, but it's certainly getting a lot more coverage and a lot more word of mouth, which, as we saw this season, helps out in the polls.
Well, you know, one thing, Austin, that I'm really proud of is the fact I was telling the guys that I started out a pro football fan, and really until I became down to Greenville area when I was 12 years old, I didn't become a Pirate fan until I was 13. And the reason being is that back in the day, we didn't have the networks like we had now. And the fact that we have the American Athletic Championship game on ABC, back then it used to be Alabama, Penn State. It would be, there was hardly any games, and I know I'm dating myself, but it really, I'm glad you brought that up, Kyle, about that ABC and all, and you guys, because I was looking at the game thinking, it's still hard to believe that it's on ABC and not maybe a regional cable network.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the things that, and I don't know how some of your listeners might take this, but I don't think Mike Oresko gets enough credit or the other personnel in the office up there in Providence, because the first thing that everybody looked at was that dollar amount. How much money is each school going to get? And, of course, that's where our eyeballs are going to go. But when you look at our games being guaranteed to get more games on ABC, more games on ESPN, right there it puts you ahead of the Mountain West or, for goodness gracious, Conference USA, where those poor fans have to search BN Sports, sometimes Facebook, just to try to figure out where the games are going to be. Now we see these games from the American on national TV every single weekend, it feels like, we've been on ABC, and that means big-time advertising dollars. You know, of course, we all love seeing our own schools there run their commercials in between timeouts and breaks, but that is millions and millions of dollars in exposure that these schools are getting now.
Yeah.
Really exciting.
You mentioned Conference USA, our old conference, and their TV deal now, they're done with BN. They actually have the NFL Network now showing the old BN package. But their TV contract is a mess, and it's not worth very much. In fact, I got a buddy, one of my best friends, is a Southern Miss fan, a Southern Miss student, and he is adamant at this point, if you know, he doesn't see any future in them getting in the American, he wants to go to the Sun Belt, because quite frankly, the Sun Belt, while their TV contract isn't worth quite as much as the USA's, they get better exposure. They get games on now Saturday games on ESPNU. So, I mean, that's bad when the bell is considered a better exposure than CUSA.
Yeah. It's just something that we've seen as grow as a trend, that separation. Of course, the American Athletic Conference is very lucky when it comes to that, because it's been on the better side of these TV deals since the changeover back in, we'll say, 2013. it started out rough, and of course, a lot of fans were not happy with the money it was getting then, but it was still heads and tails above what the other conferences were getting in the quote-unquote G5, and the exposure was good then. Now, it is, again, not comparable to, say, the Big 12, but it's still so much far ahead, so much further ahead, excuse me, than Conference USA or the Sun Belt,
Southwest is just under $2 million a team, and now we're going. And now I understand, you know, their TV deal's coming up also, but you know we're getting between $7-8 million a team. They're not going to come close to that. They'll probably give a slight bump to $3-4 million, but that's still half of what we get. So it's not even close. Also, we wanted to talk about the bowl matchups for the American for this upcoming bowl season. What did you think overall with the bowl lineup? Obviously, the big headline is Memphis going to the Cotton Bowl.
Well, I thought it was great that, of course, Memphis got that Cotton Bowl bid, but we saw that huge domino effect from Cincinnati, the league runner-up, them getting bumped down because they didn't want to send them to Memphis three games in a row. And they would have likely ended up going to the Liberty Bowl back in Memphis again. And, of course, the organizers wanted to avoid that. Cincinnati wanted to avoid that. So we saw Navy get that Liberty Bowl bid, and then Temple ends up getting the Military Bowl bid, and we just kept seeing Cincinnati fall down to the Birmingham.
Well,
I think that was the biggest shock.
Cincinnati went to the Military Bowl last year, so that's probably what that's about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it certainly is a factor, but I was very surprised to see them fall so far. But again, we had just seen this past week, Cincinnati had trouble selling its ticket allotment, only able to sell 110 tickets to Memphis for the conference championship. And the bowls do look at that, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, I was going to mention, Austin, about the very fact of these bowls. That's one thing, Kyle, and that we were discussing beforehand. It's just, sometimes these bowl tie-ins are good, which is obviously the way that things have to work now, so I get that. But then sometimes it's good where you can have I kind of have old school on that too, and I know they won't do it, but I used to like, for
actually,
example.
Actually, Dave, next year there is going to be more flexibility.
It is? Okay.
Starting next year, we do have, I think, three guaranteed bowls, and then all the bowls that are owned by ESPN, we're going to get four slots, I believe.
Oh,
four.
Good.
And,
oh, well.
It's going to be a bowl pool. We're not going to be.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. So there'll be more flexibility
after
the first three. But one thing you got to be happy about, or at least Cincinnati's got to be happy about, Austin, you get Birmingham, but at least you do get a so-called Power 5 opponent. You get Boston College. I was a little surprised to see, you know, I guess the Quick Lane Bowl must get the pick before Birmingham for the ACC spot. Because that was a backup spot for the ACC. Because I was a little surprised to see Pitt playing Eastern Michigan in the Quick Lane Bowl. And I expected to see it flip-flop, BC up there, Pitt in Birmingham. But at least you get a ACC opponent in the Birmingham Bowl for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I think Pitt would have definitely been a bigger draw because of their history in the Big East. But Boston College is a solid opponent. Steve Adazio has done a decent job, of course. They're going through some changes now, but, I mean, Cincinnati may be able to catch the Eagles off guard now as they try to head into this postseason a little in flux. But, you know, it's sitting there at 6-6. Boston College had a decent year. Cincinnati is statistically better. It should be a good matchup, though.
Other interesting matchups, in my opinion, at least, you know, I find them interesting. SMU, Florida Atlantic, you get the Conference USA champion against SMU. In the Boca Bowl, that's, you know, I guess that's okay, at least the Conference USA champion. You mentioned Navy, Kansas State. UCF Marshall, see, you mentioned military with Cincinnati. I kind of thought UCF would get the military against UNC, and then they would send Temple down to Florida. I think Temple would have rather gone to Florida, and I think UCF would probably rather get out of Florida and get a chance to play a Power 5 opponent. But nonetheless, you get UCF Marshall, and then down in the Fort Worth Bowl or the Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth, you know, Conference USA rivalry with Southern Miss and Tulane.
Oh, yeah, that, I've already seen a little bit of trash talking between the ADs from both Tulane and Southern Miss. Of course, their history there in Conference USA. That's going to be a fun one. And Southern Miss, you guys brought them up before. I just want to say one thing about Southern Miss, and I don't know how a lot of fans and pundits feel about the Golden Eagles because of their history in Conference USA, but that is one school that I would actually consider if we had to take a Conference USA school and add it to the American. For some reason, there's some kind of draw about Southern Miss to me. I don't know what it is, but I do like that school.
Yeah, we feel the same way. There's a lot of tradition there between East Carolina and Southern Miss. And Cincinnati.
Natural rivalry.
Had a physical rivalry. In fact, we'll transition into that, Bubba. You wanted to talk about expansion.
Yeah, before we talk about expansion, though, I know we talked about Memphis obviously winning the championship, but did we touch on the Cotton Bowl at all in that matchup against Penn State?
We mentioned about that they were going there, but not about the matchup.
Okay. Yeah, they had taken on Penn State. I think that could be a pretty good matchup for Memphis, actually.
Yeah, so do I.
I think it lines up. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Austin.
Well, I was going to say, I think these two teams match up a lot better than people realize. And they look at it and they think, of course, Big Ten conference team against an AAC school. And no matter what we know from watching these games each and every week, a lot of these experts are just saying that, you know, Penn State's the huge by far favorite. But you look at how these teams match up, Memphis outscores their opponents by, I believe, it's a 10-point factor more than Penn State. I would just say, right now I'm just thinking about Kenneth Gainwell and how exciting that guy is to run. And of course, they got Patrick Taylor in the backfield as well for the Memphis Tigers. I look at this matchup, and I don't think it's going to be nearly as clear-cut as a lot of the quote-unquote experts want to believe.
Right.
I give Memphis more than just a puncher's chance. I think the Tigers really got a good shot this game.
Yeah, I think maybe the biggest downside is losing Norvell. I think anytime you got a team in flux, there is some opportunity there for distraction. But one thing, even with losing their head coach, you got a chance to play in the Cotton Bowl. If you're Memphis, you're going to be fired up. It don't matter who the coach is.
No question about it. And the fact that, you know, Austin is something we could talk to about after expansion. But the one point I want to make that drives me nuts about college football experts or talking heads, it's sometimes you wonder how do they have jobs? Like they're intelligent, but they're so out of touch. And what I mean by that is the two guys I do the podcast with Bubba and Kyle, eat, sleep, drink college football. Okay, and I love college football, but I also love pro football. And it amazes me that you take a team, and the reason I'm going to bring this up real fast, I promise. You take a team like Memphis that's had a tremendous year. You have that coach is one of my favorite coaches in college football and getting the Florida State job. And they have, just because that's a quote-unquote normally a basketball school, he's done an excellent job of building off of Justin Wednesday, what he did at Memphis, and taking it to, I think, even bigger level. But just because it's Penn State that's obviously a brand name and you're going against Memphis doesn't mean that it's an easy cakewalk. I just don't understand why. And I'm not knocking James Franklin, and I'm not knocking Penn State at all. They're a good football team, but they're not a playoff team. And Memphis is way better than they're giving them credit for.
Absolutely. That's something that we see constantly throughout college football, not just football. It seems like all the sports, football just happens to be the one that it's so magnified in that they focus on brand names. We see it every single preseason with schools like Texas. I mean, the Longhorns start out like a preseason top 10 team every single
yep.
year,
yep.
and they drop down gradually over the campaign. It's something that it's frustrating, and it's a bit of I always call it a shell game, because if you start these teams out with high rankings and they get into conference play, well, then all they do is just pass those rankings back and forth. And I feel like that's what the Big Ten did this year outside of Ohio State. Now, I think the Big Ten is deeper than the ACC, where it's just
Clemson,
one team, and that's it. But for the most part, they just pass those rankings back and forth. And I don't think that Penn State is the juggernaut that people act like they are just because they had some decent wins.
No, in fact, to your point, not so much about Penn State, but you mentioned that Big Ten being deeper than the ACC. The American is significantly deeper than the ACC. We want to talk about expansion, but just talking about if you started off everybody equal and you didn't have any preseason rankings, based on Clemson's schedule, they should not be in the playoffs. Now, do I think they're an excellent team and can win the national championship? Yes. But if you're going to use UCF in 2017 and said their schedule was 2 weeks, their conference schedule was two
right.
weeks, they didn't deserve to be in the playoffs, then why does that not apply to Clemson when they played absolutely nobody except for Texas A&M? Did they play A&M? Wait a minute, I'm losing my mind.
They did.
Yeah, early in the season.
No, they played.
Go ahead, Bubba.
Yeah, he was agreeing with you.
Yeah, so besides that, Clemson played nobody. I mean, they played absolutely nobody, and based on their schedule, they shouldn't be in the playoffs, in my opinion. But, Bubba, you wanted to talk about expansion?
Yeah, that's what earlier when we were talking about just the quality of a league that the American is. I mean, you look at the depth of this, that this season had, but, I mean, even prior to this season, what UCF had done, and now you have Memphis and Cincinnati really emerging onto the national scene, and UCF still having a very good team, 9-3, and what, three losses by a combined 7 points. You have other clubs like Navy, SMU in the college football playoff top 25, and then obviously it's a tremendous league in basketball as well. So, but obviously the expansion is driven by the football side of things. So, Austin, what do you think here in the next couple years? Who do you think a potential 12th member would be?
Well, I'll tell you what, and this has been something I've tried and tried my best to get out of Oresco, and it's like pulling teeth with that guy, I'm sure you well know,
yep.
Trying to find out what's going to happen. And, you know, I can't blame him. He can't say exactly what's going to happen because, one, you can't discuss anything that might be in flux, and then if it, you know, doesn't pan out, it's going to get a little egg on your face, so to speak. So I understand that, but right now, the way they're set up, they say they're not going to expand for at least 2 years. Of course, you guys know they released the conference schedules for 2020 and 2021. But Oresco did say they left a door open for them to expand in 2021. So we might only go one season without divisions. Now, who do we get? My choice, by far, without any discussion, is BYU for football only. It's the only brand name that I think brings in money guaranteed right away and exposure. After that, I would say Air Force and Army. Those are my three picks. And I know there's some people probably listening thinking, who is this guy not saying Boise State? But that's my three picks, BYU, Air Force, and Army in that order.
Yeah, BYU obviously makes a lot of sense if they'll come. That's the problem with them. If they may not come, they may like being independent. I think their TV contract with ESPN is still up. I still don't think they've re-signed their deal yet. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of money they get. You mentioned Air Force, and that's interesting because if we've talked about it on this podcast, their head coach made the comments back in October that he, you know, wasn't happy in the Mountain West. He did not think it was the long-term home for Air Force football if they want to continue to grow because they recruit nationally, and he's sick of playing games at 10 o'clock Eastern when kids from the East Coast are trying to recruit can't watch them play. So I think Air Force would be very interested in joining the American and being in the same division with Navy.
Absolutely. I mean, you figure just right off the bat, you get 2/3 of the Commanders-in-Chief trophy games.
Right.
That's a huge get for the American Athletic Conference because people watch those games. I mean, no matter what, no matter who you are, where you live, whether you serve in the military, you probably know somebody that served in the military, and they love to watch those games, and that would be a huge get for the American, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know anything about North Carolina, but yeah, if you live in Eastern North Carolina, you know plenty of military people.
No question about it. You know,
I live right by an Air Force base.
I was just going to mention the fact that I had a theory I want to throw to you. I was told the guys about My thing is, if you know, this is what I'm going to say, not to expand, just to expand. But if you know that with good chance in the next few years there's going to be another realignment, if you go to the powers that be, whoever they are, and you say, hey, if we add these three teams, we get to be a power six status, you know, would you do it? And the ones you named, I mean, those are definitely in the mix for all three of us on the podcast. That would definitely, I think, be P6 status, especially, you know, when you add even, you're talking about Air Force, you talk about Army, we talk about BYU. That's the kind of, you know, and we love our friends in Boone, but I don't think Appalachian State brings the national status BYU brings.
Wait a minute, Dave. Wait a minute. Did you not hear, we had a conversation with someone the other, they're not even sure they would take the invite from the American. They'd have to consider it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Appalachian State is a great brand, and I think probably the new Boise State feel-good story. They're a fun program who, of course, was FCS just a few years ago, had that great upset as an FCS program on the road at Michigan back in, I think, 2007.
Right.
But you guys hit the nail on the head. It's got to add value. It's got to add what they call points on the contracts for TV. And Appalachian State will not add points, a.k.a. viewers, in different regions outside of that area. They're a great team, great fans too, but just not a money adder.
No, I think your candidates are, you know, again, are they interested? BYU, I do think Boise is a candidate if they're interested. Army, again, I heard they're not interested, so if they're interested. I think you got to look at who's interested, and who I think is interested as a candidate is Air Force. So that's who I think is going to end up being. If you're going to look beyond that, if we have to add a 12th team to get a championship game and all those teams say no after this two-year waiver, then I think you got to start looking at an App State. I think some other teams you'd look at would be a Southern Miss, as we mentioned before. Maybe if you want to look at teams with potential to be good, I think Old Dominion would bring in a new market with the Virginia area, and I think they have some potential there down the road to be good. A friend of ours mentioned Georgia State with the Atlanta market, you know, but this is all if people say no, but
right.
We have to get a 12th member to continue to play a championship game after the two-year waiver from the NCAA.
That's like,
yeah, I'll tell you what, one thing, I was just going to say, don't forget about, this one really surprised me because I know for a fact, and it was kind of, you know, whispered about around the league that LA Tech was openly petitioning to get into the American when they found out about UConn. So we know that schools are lined up. It's just about getting
Tech,
the right one.
Mean, I just don't know that Louisiana Tech. East Carolina, you know, we've got to do some of that financial trouble because of the AD we talked about before we went on the air. Louisiana Tech financially, I just don't see them ever being able to compete in the American. I just don't see that. I mean, it's possible. They got a good football program down there, but financially, those guys in Ruston are not very well equipped financially. They don't draw well unless Tim Brando is going to fund it. I just don't Terry Bradshaw. Unless Brando and Bradshaw are going to fund it, I just don't see that happening. I don't think they can compete financially. And I think that could be the same problem with Southern Miss, although I think a lot of us have a special place for Southern Miss and like to give them a shot if we had to.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about Southern Miss. Maybe for me, I think my connection is the Ray Guy thing. I think to myself, hey, you got Ray Guy, Brett Favre. It's got that history. They've got a decent-sized stadium compared to some of these smaller facilities we have here in the American. And it just feels like I'm a guy who likes underdogs, too. And when I look at Southern Miss, that feels like a program that has been left behind. We see Cincinnati and schools like USF and stuff complain about getting left behind from the Big East. Southern Miss is a program that has been left behind for decades and I think would benefit from a shot.
Long before Cincinnati was winning any football games, Carolina and Southern Miss was kicking ass and taking names. And we got in by the skin of our teeth thanks to Terry Holland's relationship with Mike Orasco. And, Southern Miss did get left behind. And it's a shame. I wish.
It's a business.
Yeah, I wish there was, somehow we could get them in the league. Just, I love East Carolina and Southern Miss are brothers. We always have been. There's just a great relationship between the two schools. And then I have personal relationships with people down at USM and love to see them get back on their feet somehow, some way, be it in the American or just start dominating CUSA. Or, like I said before, there's some rumblings down there that, just go join the Sun Belt. They're just not happy in the current conference, USA.
And Austin, I want to ask as far as before we let you go, obviously appreciate your time and awesome to always have. It's nice to one of the great things about the American is it seems like it was kind of like Conference USA. Some people have said Conference USA 2.0 when it first started and all this stuff, and it's turned out to be a great fit for I think all the teams. But how in the world? I think we're closer than we were. How in the world do we get that status of Power 6, the P6, to be where we can actually have a chance to be in the playoff?
The next step is lining up and securing a solid spot for our league champion in a bowl game that's not dependent on winning or being the best, quote-unquote, G5. The American Athletic Conference has to line up a slot in either the Liberty Bowl or the Sun Bowl and lock that down as guaranteed every season for the champion if they don't go to a playoff or an AQ for the NY6. That's the next step. The TV contract is in place. It's locked in for 12 years it's going to be a full 12 years starting in this next cycle. They have to get a solid bowl game lined up. The Miami Beach Bowl wasn't going to do it. Of course, that turned into the Frisco Bowl, and the league sold that back to ESPN. The American Athletic Conference has to get a solid bowl to make sure that they continue getting what's really been paying the dividends, exposure. Those big bowl games are what get you the exposure, and that's what needs to be the next step and the next focus, almost more so than expansion, because the contract's there, the exposure's there. They need to get a bowl game, and there's always a possibility, but the reason I say Liberty and Sun Bowl because this is a far-off possibility. There's always that possibility of a Cotton Bowl tie-in, but that's, again, dependent on growth, and that's something that the American has done amazingly well in 7 seasons. So what it has accomplished in such a short span has been phenomenal, but they've got to line up a big bowl because waiting for teams to maybe not get bids or not be able to fill their allotments or tie-ins, that's not going to cut it.
Yeah, we do add the new Fenway Park Bowl to the lineup next year, which will be against the ACC. And to me, that's a very appealing bowl, playing that up at Fenway. But I wanted to ask you about one more thing before we go, Austin. Being a Cincinnati alum, you obviously have followed the program, and Luke Fickell goes 4-8 in year one. Next year wins 10 games. East Carolina Coach Houston went 4-8 this year. You guys were terrible at the end of Luke Fickell's first year. You came to Greenville and got blown out by Scotty Montgomery. And talk about the feeling at the end of year one and how maybe some of you guys felt like, oh, can Luke get it done? Is it the transformation you guys saw in year two? To give some negative East Carolina fans a little hope.
Well, I'll tell you what, as you guys well know, no matter what the situation, no matter if it's a year one of a coach's tenure or not, 4-8 is enough to frustrate anybody. And, of course, there were frustrated UC fans that thought he might be the wrong hire. He didn't have the greatest run as an interim at Ohio State. But as you mentioned, that huge turnaround in year two, another great run this year. It's one of those things where you give a coach the amount of time to do what he needs to do and run the program his way. And as long as you know that he can do it, good things are going to happen. And looking at Mike Houston, Mike Houston's not a coordinator, who came in from somewhere and is getting his first shot. He's coming in with rings on his fingers. The man knows how to win games. And the biggest thing that he had to work with this year was that culture change. a huge culture change in the locker room, on the field, and it's just something that takes time. And I think it's going to happen a little bit faster than some people expect for Houston. Will it be a 10-win season next season? Probably not likely. It's a very tough slate for East Carolina in 2020. But that growth is going to continue. And if there's any ECU fans out there doubting it, just look at Mike Houston's history, and it'll give you a change of opinion on him as a coach. The guy is a proven winner.
Austin, conference play in basketball is just around the corner. I guess as folks will be listening to this, it's approximately 3 weeks away, kicking off or tipping off, I should say, on New Year's Day. And so taking a look at the non-conference portion of the schedule, what are some things that have really stood out to you? To me, you see Wichita State bouncing back much like they did in the latter part of last season. So that is something that folks would certainly expect. And then Memphis, having played, about half their games without James Wiseman, they're sitting there at 8-1. You have a surprise like Tulane, and they had a tremendous hire in Ron Hunter, and now I think they're 7-2. So what are some of the things that have stood out to you?
I tell you what, the thing that stood out to me is, of course, Memphis. You mentioned James Wiseman, and everybody looked at Memphis, and even though they had the number one recruiting class in the nation, everybody thought with Wiseman sitting, well, their season is going to tank. We're going to see Memphis get exposed. But sitting there at 8-1, it shows that there's some depth. Now, granted, it's young depth, and it might be a whole lot of one-and-done depth, but that team is going to be able to go through for the long haul this season. My biggest surprise has probably been SMU. Jankovic has had a lot of problems despite the high expectations since the departure of Larry Brown. But SMU has come out firing this season and really surprised me more so than Wichita State, because Greg Marshall has a down year every now and then, but the Shockers always seem to bounce back. He's a solid coach, and sitting there at 8-1, I mean, you know, the Shockers are doing what we expected them to do after that run to Madison Square Garden last year in the NIT. I think the biggest surprise right now, though, is UConn, who is in their last year in the season. I expected them to look more solid under Dan Hurley, and they seem to be a little wishy-washy, and I don't think they're going to be taking that next leap like a lot of people expected.
Yeah, with the UConn situation, I kind of feel like they, and maybe I'm wrong for saying this, but I feel like that they can't wait to get out of the American, and they could care less. I don't know. It's not a good time for them, and I think that I've said it many times. I think they were short-sighted on, especially for basketball, to leave. And football is hurting them tremendously, but I don't think they care about football, but I don't think they really care about what they're doing this year. They're so excited about getting back in the Big East. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but that's just my gut feel.
It sure seems that way. And the craziest thing about this is, and I love pointing this out when I talk about UConn, their biggest complaint was that games from the American were going to be streaming on ESPN+, and they felt that was beneath them. Now, number two, Kansas, the Jayhawks are playing on ESPN+ tonight. ESPN Plus is not beneath UConn.
A very good point, and I think, you know, Kyle and I've talked to Ed and Bubba, the three of us have talked about it. That deal was a really good deal for us, and to be, I hate to use the term group of five, for us to get the deal that we did, thank God for Mike Oresko. I know there's some people that don't understand the way that TV contracts work, and you know, with the whole situation with UCF, sometimes you know, he's looking big picture, and I don't think people understand big picture, but I'm not here to defend the commissioner. I think he's done an outstanding job, but I think that sometimes people don't understand the way things work, and if there's anybody that can get things done as far as the P6 movement, like you said, the bowl situation, we're already beating people head-to-head, so it comes down to the great ties in, and for sure. Also, before we let you go, can you give folks how they can follow your podcast? We appreciate you coming on, and certainly on Twitter and social media.
Absolutely, guys. I really appreciate it. For your listeners, if you want to catch me on social media, you can give me a follow on Twitter at @C_Austin_Cox, or follow the show at @AAC_Daily. We are off right now on hiatus until January, but we'll be returning with full Monday through Friday scheduled shows then. Guys, it's been a pleasure talking to you about ECU and the American.
Thank you very much, Austin. Had a great time with him. He was, as always, a lot of fun. We'll have him back on towards the end of basketball season as we kind of end basketball and begin baseball season, sorry to believe. By the way, speaking of baseball, guys, February 1st is the banquet. Get your tickets. Go ahead and get those now. And save that date, February 1st. I assume, Bubba, isn't it going to be in the Student Center again?
Yeah, it'll be in the ECU Student Center again. And, yes, there are right around 600, give or take. That's the capacity of that room. And it was pretty full. If not at capacity, it was right there near it last year. And it's an excellent night. Unfortunately, I was unable to attend due to Riley's basketball, but my parents and some other close friends went, and they said it was an excellent evening.
Yeah, speaking of tickets, guys, believe it or not, football season tickets going to sell next week. Yeah, it's the 18th, I believe, or the 19th, one or the other.
Yeah, they're doing it, I think, on early because of signing day and the excitement there. It'll be right around.
And if you're somebody who buys the economy plan tickets, which are the $100 tickets, if you go ahead and get them, Bubba, do you remember the date? Is it before January 10th?
Yes, I think if you pay in full, you pay that $99 plus. Yep.
$75 a ticket. So you can go ahead, and if you got somebody on your Christmas list, you can spend $150 and get them Pirate season tickets. Maybe if there's somebody out there that you think has been on the fence about going, and you want to support the program, and you got, you know, it's just, you know, I know $150 may be a lot of money just to spend on a friend, but you're giving that money to East Carolina, so go give somebody you know a pair of season tickets that have been on the fence about going to see Pirate football, or maybe have been to a couple of games with you. Going to get them some season tickets and help support the program.
No question about it. Great to support. Do that by going to ecupirates.com or the old-fashioned way. Let your fingers do the walking, and you can call 1-800-DIAL-ECU. You can also get basketball tickets on there. I know it's tough right now, but the Pirates, Bubba, for both men and women, have games coming up. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, we do, and we'll start off with the men. The men are, of course, 2-7. They've really been struggling. And the biggest thing that's been an issue, or we simply cannot shoot the basketball thus far through nine ball games.
And then the other problem is we can't defend and we can't rebound. The
rebounding hasn't been too bad. I mean,
yeah, the free throw shooting was bad last game.
The free throw shooting for the most part has been good, but the defense the last two or three games has been atrocious.
And it may change before the season goes on, but as I was saying the other day, I'm not sure Dooley didn't make a mistake. Obviously, he upgraded the talent, but these guys just ain't playing as a team. And when the defense is struggling like that, that's effort. And you got a bunch of kids who've been playing AAU ball, used to doing nothing but scoring, and defense is optional. And I don't know. I think it may have been a mistake on his part. Obviously, he did upgrade the talent, but sometimes you upgrade your talent, but you don't upgrade your team.
Well, one of the things we don't have is the problem we have is that we have nobody that has been there and done that. There's no upperclassmen that have been there a few years and say this is the way that Dooley likes things or whatever. There are 11 guys off the street coming at one time. I mean, that's what's the rough part.
To do that. It was probably a mistake to do that.
But Pirates will be back in action on Saturday afternoon, 4:00 tip-off at Williams Arena Minties Coliseum, and that is one of four remaining non-conference games. After that, on the 18th, we'll play Maryland Eastern Shore, and last time I checked, they were winless. And then on let's hope not. And then on the 22nd, Charlotte will be coming in, so kind of a marquee in-state matchup there. Hopefully we'll have a little momentum going into that one, coming off a couple of wins.
We need to win these last four. If you're going to have any kind of momentum and anybody have any hope going into conference play, you win these last four.
No doubt.
Not only that, you got – hey, Bubba, you know, and another thing, guys, remember last year, Kyle brought to the attention of first of Sean Williams' suspension for 6 games, but then remember how crazy the schedule was last December? Can you imagine? I'm glad that we have these games. Obviously, you definitely want to win them, like Kyle was saying, but thank God we have the games as well where we don't have a long layover to kind of –
a long practice period having off instead of playing games might have helped these guys. It might have been better off this year to have that, having to work.
You've heard Coach Dooley say it time and again in these post practice and then also, or I guess maybe pre practice and then also post game press conferences. We just need to practice, and guys. We just need to practice. And he said, I know I've been a broken record, but we just have so many new pieces, and we need that practice time to get things sorted out. And so
the good news is they do have. I'm sorry, Bubba. It's fine.
I was going to say that the other non-conference game that I didn't get a mention, we'll wrap up non-conference play on the 28th against Eastern Kentucky at home.
I was just going to say the good news is the fact that as we're recording this Thursday early evening, Thursday afternoon, which is a few hours ago, as I stated, we're recording this, they're done with exams now. Every single player is done with exams. So here between now and conference play, they won't have – it's going to be strictly basketball.
Well, that's
so
good. Maybe that'll
that's
improve.
A good thing.
Hey, so something about the Eastern Kentucky game, Bubba. Did you know Eastern Kentucky is in Richmond, Kentucky?
I did. We were discussing that yesterday because you had
– Yes, I know, Bubba. That's the joke.
Right. I just thought you were talking about which the other.
No, no, no.
It
was just an inside joke
gotcha.
For you and I. But yesterday we were talking about Eastern Kentucky for some unknown reason, and I mentioned they used to have a wide receiver named Kyle Barber, and Bubba informed me that they were in Richmond, Kentucky. So those are
I didn't know that.
Interesting facts about Eastern Kentucky for everyone out there.
No questions about it.
And then, as far as the women go, I know you mentioned them too, Dave. Kim McNeil's club, they've really been shorthanded. They've only been dressing 7 scholarship players, and I think 7 players, period. So not even any walk-ons to have at her disposal. Yeah, because I watched some of the Longwood game here in the last week or week and a half, whatever it was, and up at Longwood we were able to win the ball game, but we only had 7 girls dressed out, but. Anyway, they're 3-6, and they'll be back in action on Monday night at 7:00 at home against Howard. And then after that, I think it's their final 3 non-conference games. Not 100% on that, but they'll wrap up the 2019 portion of the schedule. They play down in West Palm Beach, so that'll be a nice trip for the program. And they play Big Ten foe Northwestern and also Dayton out of the A-10, and then they'll
wow. –
that they'll go to Athens to play Georgia, because remember that Coach McNeil has that tie. She was an assistant at the University of Georgia, so I'm guessing that's probably how that game got on the schedule.
Congratulations to the girls on beating Longwood. I know that's always hard.
Yeah, well yeah, moving right along on that one. and we wonder why we don't get any more female listeners. But anyway, that's all the emails.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I was complimenting the ladies on a hard-fought win.
Okay, all right. Anyway, so we're talking Pirates, and I just wanted to make sure people are very clear. I know we've talked a lot about this, but I keep hearing man on the street stuff about people don't think. There's people that actually believe that the Pirates are not getting better when it comes to football.
Those people are stupid. I as I told somebody on Bone Air Banner the other day, don't worry, you know, they were posting something about the old Frank Beamer was blah, 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 blah. Don't waste your time. Anybody that thinks Mike Houston doesn't know what he's doing, a post isn't going to change their mind. They just don't get it. Look, right now, you know, we're approaching on a top 50 recruiting class. So,
it's amazing.
You know, Houston knows what he's doing. He's a hell of a coach. He's a hell of a – he knows how to build a program. His track record is proven. And look, there's some other things you can point to indicate he's going to be a winner. There are three other coaches right now in FBS football that won FBS national championships. All three of them are in bowl games. That's Tulane, Kansas State, and Wyoming. If you look at his style of play, it's a physical, tough style of play. He represents a couple of other coaches that didn't have success in year one and then had success in year two. Luke Fickell and Matt Rhule, both very similar coaches. Matt Rhule went 1-11 his first year, rather year 2-7 wins, this year 11 or 12 wins. And then Luke Fickell of Cincinnati lost to Scotty Montgomery in year one, went 4-8, and then won 10 games in his second year. So I'm not saying the coach is going to win 10 games, but we will be a dramatically improved football team next year.
Oh, no question about it. You got to know that, as we've heard too, that the coaches now know what they're dealing with. That they've got a better understanding every day that goes by.
Well,
recruiting class through the roof.
Out of practice, Dave.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so it's not only the kids. The kids know what to expect. They're going to go hit the ground running in spring. You got guys that were redshirted this year that know nothing but Coach Houston at the college level. So
right.
I would expect next year to hit the ground running. And I got a feeling, if we don't beat Marshall that first game of the year, it's going to be a hell of a ball game. I'm not going to guarantee a win game one, not right now, but get back to me.
Yeah, Marshall, that's going to be a fantastic game. And I was telling a guy today, I really feel like I'm like you guys. I think we will go to six wins next year. The schedule, man, if you could have the schedule we had this year for next year, we don't. The schedule is really tough. And so it looks like we're going to have a 6-6 kind of year next year. And then when you have Holton as a senior and there's a lot of these guys as juniors, oh, my God, wow. With the recruiting club,
21 has the potential to be a breakout year. But next year, I think we'll flirt with bowl eligibility and hopefully get it.
Yeah.
Dave,
and it's
is there
tough.
Anything else, man? Any other news that we need to get to? Or?
Well, just want to personally thank you both, you guys. Kyle was injured a couple weeks ago. He was playing hurt, if you will. He was sick. And I know you're better now. I think that I must have got a form of what you had. So I want to thank all our listeners for being patient with us. As I know two out of three guys have been struggling a little bit health-wise. So playing hurt, not injured, rather. And I know you're on the mend. You're better, Kyle. So hopefully by next week I'll be feeling I'm not anywhere near 100%. So just want to thank you and Bubba for hanging in there with me. And also want to remind folks before we go we're very excited about our cruise coming up next year, July the 16th to the 20th. Call Dana Schrank, very excited about the cruise. It's going to be leaving Charleston on the 16th. It's a four-day cruise to the Bahamas. We'll go to Nassau. We're going to have a great time. We're going to record a podcast on the cruise. We worked that out. We're also going to have a party, which Pirates, I know, Kyle, you don't like the party, so.
Not at all.
I was going to say people could come on the cruise and party with you, but I guess that's not going to happen.
We'll see. Hopefully I'll be there. But
all right, same thing with Bubba. Bubba, do you have anything before we go?
Bubba has left the building, Dave.
He has left the building, okay. Raleigh has basketball practice. So, well, Kyle, enjoyed it as always, my friend, and good luck to the Pirates on Saturday.
Hey, yeah, definitely. One thing before we go, Dave,
okay.
Or two things before we go. One, hugs from Harrison. Go donate toys. Lots of locations. Go to our Facebook page. That Facebook page is Esports Objective, or just go to the Hugs from Harrison Facebook page. Find out where to donate. Locations all over Pitt, all over Greene, Eleanor County. I don't think there's any in Pitt. All the toys are going to children at the James and Connie Manor Children's Hospital. They're invited in Greenville. And follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. And, of course, go like our YouTube page. And at Twitter, we are the Esports OBJ. Everywhere else, we are the Esports Objective.
All right, sounds good. And we're going to have a lot of fun. Good luck to the Pirates. Like I was weekend, folks. And we'll be back this weekend. We got a lot of stuff coming up, too. We'll have a OT after the Saturday's game with Campbell and much more, so stay tuned for that. And we have a great former basketball player we're going to be interviewing this coming week as well, so look forward to that. All right, for Bubba Rosenbaum, our great guest, C. Austin Cox, and Kyle from LaGrange Barber, I'm Dave Richmond, and you've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.